Well, good morning and welcome to Good Morning Live, The Breakdown. I'm James Epperly, and over the next few minutes, I'm going to walk you through some of this week's top headlines in our news and find out how we should respond as Christians and from a Christian perspective. So thank you for joining me for this very special Good Morning Live, The Breakdown edition. Well, it has been another week of global tension and spiritual opportunity. There's a fragile peace deal for the Middle East, a nationwide government shutdown, culture-shaking moments in music and entertainment, and even new controversy in U.S. politics. Who would have thought, right? So over the next few minutes, we're going to break down the top stories and ask, how should believers respond with truth, with grace, in faith in a very shaking world? So let's dive in. Well, major news overseas, Israel and Hamas have finally reached a ceasefire and hostage exchange agreement. Now, the ceasefire took effect after approved by Israel's security cabinet, and Hamas will release remaining Israeli hostages while Israel frees selected Palestinian prisoners. Now, UN agencies are preparing a surge of humanitarian aid and medical supplies into the Gaza Strip. Still, enforcement and long-term governance remain unresolved. So let's take a quick peek at what's happening.
As you know, last night we reached a momentous breakthrough in the Middle East, something that people said was never going to be done. We ended the war in Gaza and really, on a much bigger basis, created peace. And I think it's going to be a lasting peace, hopefully an everlasting peace. Peace in the Middle East. We secured the release of all of the remaining hostages, and they should be released on Monday or Tuesday. Getting them is a complicated process. I'd rather not tell you what they have to do to get them. There are places you don't want to be, but we are getting the hostages back on Monday or Tuesday, and that'll be a day of joy. I'm going to try and make a trip over. We're going to try and get over there. And we're working on the timing, the exact timing. We're going to go to Egypt, where we'll have a signing, an additional signing. We've already had a signing representing me, but we're going to have an official signing.
So, as President Trump on the peace agreement signing that's happening over for Israel and, of course, Hamas and the Palestinians. And man, there's a lot happening there. And, you know, I heard some people on social media going back and forth talking about, well, is this the beginning of the 7 years of peace that is prophesied? And of course, there's a lot of voices weighing in on that. I don't personally believe that this is the beginning of that. One of my main reasons is we still know that, according to biblical prophecy, that the new temple will be built. The Jewish temple will be built in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And obviously, Israel has some military control over that, but they do not have full access to the Temple Mount. So while peace is great, I don't think this is the beginning of the 7 years of peace talked about in Revelation, primarily because at some point, the Jewish people, according to Scripture, will gain full control over the Temple Mount, take down what's there, and build the new temple. So I don't foresee that happening without some type of conflict or, greater military efforts there. But as I always say, when it comes to Bible prophecy and end times things, we just stay ready and we will eventually see. But what we do need to do is what Psalms 122:6 commands, that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And this is that moment. So while some people might say, well, I don't agree with everything that Israel is doing, well, you don't have to. You can still pray for them. And if you, the more you disagree, if you disagree with some of their politics and their war strategies, how much more should we pray? So we pray for the protection of its civilians. We pray for wisdom and leadership and even revival amid this war. And pray that peace, that last, that doesn't come from politics, but comes from the Prince of Peace, right? So while nations negotiate the church intercede. So that's what we should definitely be doing for Jerusalem right now. Well, in lighter news, country legend Dolly Parton set the record straight this week after rumors spread online that she was gravely ill and was on the verge of passing away. Now, if you are like me and a Dolly Parton fan, this news earlier in the week kind of shook you a little bit. And actually, Sarah and I, my wife, have been obsessed with the Dolly Parton whipped cheesecakes that she, the line that she released. And so we're both sitting there eating a piece, and she says, "Oh no, the news is Dolly Parton's canceled her shows and she's not doing too good." And then her sister came out and said that she was up all night praying for Dolly Parton's health, and that set a lot of rumors. So Dolly Parton released a new video in light of all of that. And in the new video, she smiled and said, "I ain't dead yet." She explained that she's dealing with some health challenges, kidney stones among them, but nothing life-threatening. But she's postponed her Las Vegas residency to rest and recover. Now, I don't know. I think Dolly's transparency and humor are refreshing amidst, you know, reminders that faith and joy can coexist with struggle, right? Proverbs 18:13 also warns against believing rumors before knowing the truth. Of course, she values believers' prayers and made a public declaration of her faith. Her statement, "God's not through with me yet," is the kind of confidence that every believer should live with. So let's follow her example, confront fear with faith and rumor with truth. Well, Christian recording artist Forrest Frank has again gone viral, this time for announcing that he'll no longer accept or attend awards from Christian or secular shows like the Dove Awards or the Grammys. He said, "I won't accept a trophy for something that belongs to Jesus. The real reward is salvation." Now, this move both drew admiration and criticism. Some call it a prophetic conviction, while others call it unnecessary. But let's take a look at what Forrest had to say.
"As Christians, it's hard to know where the line in the sand is between being in the world and not of the world. And as a Christian artist, you know, I dress kind of like the world. I kind of look like the world. My music can kind of sound like the world. So where's the line in the sand drawn? And I'm convicted personally that a line that I can draw is that I will not receive a trophy for something that is from Jesus and for Jesus. And I was wrestling with this last year. I even said that on stage at the Dove Awards. I said, I'm still struggling with the concept of receiving this award, but all glory to Jesus. Every name will fade away, including mine, except for one name. But I feel a conviction to go even a step further and say, I don't know if I even want to step on the stage. I don't know if I want to step in the room. And so I have decided to take a stance of non-participation. I will not be attending the Doves or the Grammys. I hope to be an example to the youth that the trophy is our salvation. The trophy is that my name is listed in the book of life and I get to have eternal life. What good is a piece of metal going to do compared to that?"
I applaud Forrest Frank for standing for his convictions. And I think it forced us to ask ourselves these questions. Are we chasing applause or assignment? Do we measure success by followers or by our faithfulness to God? And when the world rewards us, we are humbled enough to point the credit back to Christ. Now, I don't want to say that anyone who receives a reward or participates in award shows is inherently wrong or that's a wrong thing to do. I just think it's Forrest Frank's personal conviction, and he's responding to his personal conviction while somebody else may not carry that personal conviction. I've often preached to our church that, you know, the Bible says he's building his church with living stones, right? So we living stones, it means we're all a little bit different. We all have different, you know, personal things that the Lord's speaking to us. So if this is something that Forrest Frank feels like he needs to take a stand on, well, then that's great. But we should also not then look down on those who do not feel that personal conviction and will receive the reward and point people to Jesus. But I applaud Forrest Frank for speaking up on his conviction and taking a stand for that. Well, in a little bit heavier news, here at home, the U.S. federal government has been shut down since October 1st, after Congress failed to agree again on a spending bill. The IRS has laid off temporarily more than 34,000 employees, almost half of its workforce, slowing tax processing and customer support. The FAA warns flight delays could worsen as unpaid traffic controllers continue to call off, because while they are mandated to work without pay, they are just using the call off sick feature, if you will, to not be forced to work without pay. Federal workers are uncertain about payback, and social service programs are feeling the squeeze. So President Trump made some comments on this. Let's check that out.
The shutdown has been, you know, pretty damaging. I mean, it's not yet because it's early, but it gets a little bit worse as it goes along. And we'll be making cuts that will be permanent. And we're only going to cut Democrat programs. I hate to tell you. I guess that makes sense. But we're only cutting Democrat programs. But we're going to start that. And we have Russell, we can talk to you about it if he wants to. But we'll be cutting some very popular Democrat programs that aren't popular with Republicans, frankly, because that's the way it works. They wanted to do this. So we'll give them a little taste of their own medicine.
You know, whatever side of the aisle you find yourself on, and when it comes to President Trump and Republicans or Democrats, love him or hate him, one thing that I appreciate about President Trump is that he does not, he'll just tell you what's happening. Where in a world where many politicians would cut, you know, their opponents, and if you will, Democratic programs, they would do it kind of behind the scenes. He'll just come on national television and just say, hey, because of the shutdown and because we can't come to an agreement, we're going to cut Democratic programs because you're the ones holding it back. So you're the ones who are going to pay. Where, you know, probably, you know, a more polished politician would have done it, you know, and try to conceal it. He just tells it like it is. So in a way, there's some refreshing in that. But politics aside, this is hurting a lot of American families, and it's not politics for them. It is survival, which again is why we always come back to Philippians 4:19, that my God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory, which again is a reminder that Jesus is our hope and our source, right? That's why we don't participate in the economy of the world. We participate in the economy of heaven. Why? Because the economy of this world is here one day and gone the next, strong one day and shut down the next. But besides that, we should also be praying, but also acting. Make sure we're supporting our food pantries and relief programs. Encourage generosity within congregations who are making an impact in our local communities. And remind one another that our provider is Jehovah Jireh, not Washington, D.C. Well, real quick, a few other major developments this week, each carrying supernatural lessons for us. The New York Attorney General Loretta James has been indicted. She's been charged with mortgage fraud, a stunning development following years of clashes with former, at the time as she was laying the charges, former President Trump. And many political leaders are split. Some call it justice, others vengeance. Micah 6:8 calls us to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. So let's pray for the truth to always come to light. And if justice needs to happen, then it happens, but not vengeance. And for integrity in every level of our government offices. Also, the National Guard deploys, has many deployments in U.S. cities. President Trump has authorized National Guard troops to assist in cities like Chicago amid unrest during the shutdown. So again, most of our faith takeaways are coming back to this. Pray. Pray for peace. Pray for protection. Romans 13 reminds us that all authority is meant to serve good, not fear. So let's ask God to raise leaders to use power and humility and compassion as we navigate these turbulent times in the U.S. So from ceasefires to shutdowns, from Dolly Parton's humor to Forrest Frank's conviction, one message rings true. The world is shaking, but God's kingdom is not. So while the world is in turmoil, come on, it is a great time to be a believer. It is a great time to serve God. It is a great time to be light in the midst of darkness. Light has never been so good as it is when it's put into a room of complete darkness. Hebrews 12:28 says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So come on, let's continue to pray for the peace of Israel. Help someone affected by the shutdown. Speak life like Dolly Parton and live boldly like Forrest Frank. Well, I'm James Epperly, and this has been Good Friday special edition called The Breakdown. May God bless you. May his face shine brighter on you. And remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.